You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Yeah. My favorite, it's Judd's Hockey Show.
Welcome into Judd's Hockey Show. Still a little noisy here as people file out of the XL Energy Center for the last time this season. Wild lose 4-1 in game 6. They lose the series 4-2. It's Judd, it's Declan. It's a therapy session. The towel and the slogan said grit first. The Wild got confused after game 4 and thought it said quit first. And so they did an excellent job of quitting in Game 5 and in Game 6 tonight. They score a meaningless goal with it 3-1 and pull the goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury. Dean Evason adjusts way too late, an inexcusably pathetic way to go out. There's no way to justify this. There's no way to spin this. There's no reason to spin this. If the Wild aren't asking serious questions about several of their players and their head coach, then quite frankly, Bill Guerin, who I just saw. In fact, he's sitting there. He's actually sitting in the GM's box right now, staring
still
at the ice, leaning back with one like this, staring at the ice. And it's because he's pissed off, and he should be. He's got to ask a lot of serious questions here. This was an absolutely abysmal way to go out. And Dean Evason, again, hyperventilating and pushing buttons when it was far too late to make a difference. I think his job should be in jeopardy, at the very least. You can't just say it's Darby Hendrickson's fault for special teams. The Dallas Stars actually scored all even strength goals tonight. This team, look, they're far more likable than the Parisi Suter, ironically enough. Suter wins, or and it's not ironic, it's just interestingly enough, Suter and his team win, but this is a really, really pathetic way to go out. A team that Bill Guerin built for the playoffs and rolled over and played dead after a great performance last Friday. It's a repeat of last year. Dean's first year in a real playoff, they lost in 7. There's some hard questions to be asked here. And for all those who are going to defend this team, just stop. Seriously, give me a bleeping break. Don't do it. Bill Guerin's not going to. I seriously think you got to ask questions, Declan. It's one thing to lose. It's one thing to lose in 6 or 7. It's another to roll over and play dead. Jake Ottinger was good. So was Jake Allen. I don't care anymore. Do your job, and the Wild didn't.
All right. First off, this is Wild Ventline too, by the way. So if you want to get on this show, shoot me an email. It's VikingsVentline@gmail.com. If you'd like to get some vents out, this is a safe space. We've been doing this all playoff series. We don't pick and choose when we want to do vent lines. We've been doing vent lines with you all throughout the playoff series. So if you want to get in and voice your frustration, please do. Shoot me an email. It's VikingsVentline@gmail.com if that's something you'd like to do. Safe space to voice your frustrations after another disappointing Wild season. Judd, this is now for me, and I have made this very clear of my roller coaster, toxic, unhealthy relationship with the local baseball team when it comes to postseason failures. This is now entering that territory for me. This is why I can't take a baseball team seriously with how good they're playing in the regular season, because you haven't won a playoff game in 19 tries. Now, the Wild have won some playoff games. This is the second year in a row they've had a 2-1 series lead in a postseason series, which math tells you that usually you walk out with a series win, and they've then lost 3 games in a row. They have lost 14 of 19 of their last home playoff games. State of hockey, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. They can't win on home ice. They can't score big-time goals. They have superstar players who absolutely disappear. This has now entered the territory for me with the Twins, where I don't really care anymore what you do in the regular season. I don't really care anymore about the gimmicks and slogans you do. I don't really care anymore. You're playing Bon Jovi for the 1,000th time for Living on a Prayer down 1-0 in the first period. You have to do something to win playoff games, and I won't take you seriously until you do. You have now crossed line. I've given the Wild more of the benefit of the doubt than the Twins. Maybe that's because they've actually been able to win a damn playoff game. But now with, what, 7 straight playoff series exits, back-to-back times, and honestly, 3 straight series, you had chances to win the series. It wasn't like you were a drastic underdog. Okay, no. You weren't a drastic underdog against the Stars. You had home ice against the Blues, and you were beatable. You could have beaten the Vegas Golden Knights 2 years ago, too. You didn't. You fell flat on your face, and now this has kind of entered that territory for me where I can't take you seriously until you do it in the playoffs.
Well, and here's the problem, too. The fixes are not that hard to figure out. Your head coach can't adjust and doesn't adjust until he's panicked. To your point, Matt Boldy played the perfect role of Kevin Fiala, completely disappeared. Kirill Kaprizov, unfortunately, had one goal, so he did too. You know, and here's the thing, too, tonight. I mean, give me a break. Dean Evason switches lines. He switches Zuccarello and Johansson. And then, I guess, in the second period, he decides, you know what, I'm not going to switch them. I'm going to switch them back. Meanwhile, he puts Gus Nyquist, who's actually played pretty well and has shown some skill, he puts him with Sam Steele and Marcus Foligno on what amounts to a third checking line. He never made the right adjustments. And, yeah, they didn't have Eriksson Ek. I got news for you. It's the playoffs. A lot of very good players go out and are missing. And you know what teams do? They don't quit in the last two games. The Wild's going to try to claim, and their apologists are going to say, well, they didn't quit. It's a hot goaltender. Now, that is malarkey. That's a bunch of crap. This team folded again. So I'm with you. I don't think that there's a need. I don't think that there's a need to buy in. But, you know, when you go with this grit first, give me a break. Like, you literally are telling your team you need to play a certain way. And Dallas just took you to school. And much like with St. Louis, you're right. They're not a better team. They've got higher end talent, but you've got some pretty damn good talent. And, you know, the problem is it's always something, right, Declan? It's always, oh, Jake Oettinger, Jake Allen was hot. Oh, I mean, oh, look at that guy got hot. Or this, you know, there is no rule that says the Minnesota Wild can't win a playoff series. But now it's been since 2015. So let's get to some fans here. But this just has me really, really not even disappointed at this point. I'm more mad than disappointed.
Very frustrated myself, my friend. Okay, let's turn this over to Wild Vent Line fans who are eager and angry, just like Judd and I are. So let's get to them here, Judd. We're going to kick things off with Matt. Matt, you're going to lead us off. You're on Wild Vent Line. How are you, buddy?
Well, I've been better. That's for sure. I agree with Judd completely. Dino needs a go. Right? Regular season, I love his whole... Oh, you know, everyone's got a voice, you know, treat everyone equal thing. That's great. But apparently he just doesn't know when to step up and be the darn head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the series a couple years ago against Vegas too well because I didn't have the opportunity to watch it very well. But Kaprizov got shut out in that.
Yep. Pete DeBoer, same coach.
That was the point I was going to make. Yep. So apparently... Maybe it wasn't Kaprizov that first year. Maybe it was Dino's lack of anything.
Yeah, he doesn't adjust. He doesn't adjust until it's too late, you know. And, I mean, so you're going to tell me, so tonight in Game 6, you're going to panic and put the flower in because, you know, that's going to spark your team. It's too late. Sparks through the playoffs need to come in gradual increments. You can't just all of a sudden go from no changes at all, Declan, to throwing the kitchen sink on the ice from behind the bench because you're panicked. Let's keep going.
All right. We're going to go next to Seamus now. Hey, Seamus, you're next up on Wild Ventline. How are you?
Seamus?
Good, how are you
Seamus
guys?
Seamus Gaddis. Yeah, we're okay.
Good.
Yep, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Perfect. Yeah, so I'm going to – the popular take is going to be fire Dean, fire Darby. I think that's obvious at this point.
Okay. Absolutely.
Popular take.
I think we're losing.
We're going to lose him in the green room there. We're going to put another Matt on instead. Other Matt, you are now on Wild Vent Line. What's going on, dude?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
We're okay.
Hanging in.
Yeah. I mean, so I have a couple things that have just bothered me throughout the playoff series. I mean, I just think that in terms of the way they play, they don't – so like when they get the puck at the blue line, it's always just a dump back into the corner or it's a blocked shot. We don't have anyone who can make that shifty play at the blue line and get a shot on goal. I mean, that Zuccarello 2-on-1 was just killer. I mean, you got to hit the net.
Yeah.
You have a guy drive. You have a guy driving the net, and you also have another guy. I mean, it's maybe even a 3-on-1 crash in the net there. Terrible play. I mean, that killed him. The PK, still not changing the PK. You guys mentioned it like a couple days ago. It was Gaudreau and Johansson again tonight. Like, how do you keep rolling back to the same terrible PK? And I also think it's part of Boldy's breakout. I mean, Johansson's a big part of it, but I think Eriksson Ek might have been key to that too. You know, like having another playmaker with him. I don't know. I think that hurts.
Sure.
You know, yeah. But and the power play spread is horrible. The way they just spread out completely. You don't have any real threatening positioning. You know, the bumper spot when we do have one is always useless.
And that can't happen. That's exactly right. The problem is that can't happen. Like the whole thing of, well, you know, odd man rushes and this and that. This team isn't an odd man rush scoring type of team. Yeah, they can score that way. But this is a team that has to get a net front presence. This is a team that has, and they didn't find any way to do that. Again, you know what that is? That's the Jake Allen thing. That's the same crap, and it's partially on coaching as well. But you have to, this is the time of year when you have to score goals that hurt like hell to score. And if you're not willing to pay that price, and Dallas was more so, then you've got a problem. And, yeah, the power play thing, the penalty kill was absolutely atrocious. But the last two games, look, I thought game four, tough loss, but I thought it was a hell of a game. These last two games are what just turned my stomach, though, Declan. Absolutely turned my stomach.
Absolutely. We're going to go next now to Henry here on Wild Vent Line. Henry, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. So I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and I've never called into a show. I just want to say I appreciate everything you guys do. It's a public service.
Sports therapy, my man. It's needed. In this state, Minnesota sports therapy, absolutely necessary.
It's so bad.
I know.
It's like this team is just spiritually weak.
Yes.
Like I could tell this was coming, like as soon as I think it was the game at home, they were up 2-1. And, like, I think Ottinger just bailed them out all over the time. And, like, it just felt like they couldn't recover from that. Like, they went on the road, and then they just got shut out. And it felt like they weren't in that. And they weren't in this game either.
The playoffs take an incredible amount of intestinal fortitude, Henry, to win in. And this team didn't have that again. The players have changed. I think the personality of the team has changed. But look, you know, Marcus Foligno going out early in game five hurt, but it threw them for a loop that never should have happened. And that goes all the way up to the head coach. I mean, it's Marcus Foligno. We're not talking Kirill Kaprizov. We're talking Marcus Foligno, and you're going to be that phased by it. The first thing that went wrong in these playoffs, really in the last few games, this team just curled up and went into the fetal position. It's that simple.
All right, well, let's try Seamus again here on Wild Vent Line. Seamus, you got us?
Yeah, I changed rooms. Hopefully the service is a little bit better.
Seems like it's way better.
All right. Yep. So, again, the popular take is going to be fire Dean, fire Darby. Agree with that. I think we need to rip the C off Spurgeon. Look, last game 6 against the Blues, -4. Tonight, -2. He was -5 for the series when Dallas scored all those power play goals. How is that possible? He is not a top defenseman. And you know what? Hard work and go have fun elsewhere because you are Koivu 2.0. You are Koivu 2.0. He's a great guy. Ooh. Everyone's going to say, oh, he's so nice. You can't lose Spurgeon. You know what? This isn't Minnesota nice. Get him out of here. Get someone who has some grit. Get someone who can win a faceoff, Garen. We've been screaming at you for years. You need center depth. Look at the Stars. They practically have 2 centers on every line. They win face-offs. This is not that hard, Billy G. This is not that hard. Spurgeon, get him out of here. Get a center that can win a face-off.
Good stuff, man. Thank you very much. Love that. I don't disagree with I don't disagree with both points. I don't want Spurgeon gone. I don't think he's a captain. He's a really nice guy, and in the regular season, I think he, you know, goes up and down the bench and imparts his words of wisdom and spirits, but do I think that he's a guy in the midst of the playoffs with ice packs on every player who can go in and F-bomb his teammates? No, I don't, and that's what you need. Like, they're not playoffed off. I mean, it's not – I'm not breaking news here. They are not a playoff-hardened, tough team. They need a captain. I mean, this team has not had a real captain since Jacques rotated the C around. I mean, Koivu was just a crab ass. And I think Jared's a nice guy, but I think Jared would be a great captain of a college hockey team. I'm not saying he needs to go. I am saying that I would love to see a captain who would go in there. And, I mean, Dex, you've heard clips. The real captains light the room up and don't give a damn. And they're not trying to be your friend. They ain't trying to be your friend. The real coaches and real captains, I'm not saying they try to alienate teammates, but at times like this, the paint peels from the walls. I don't sense that happens downstairs where I am at right now at the X.
All right, we're going to keep it moving here on Wild Vent Line. Let's go to Claire next. Hi, Claire.
Hi. First of all, what are y'all drinking to soothe this pain?
Oh, I have a whiskey ginger. Judd's in a professional.
I'm here in the press box, Claire, so I am like a Diet Coke.
Just a whole bottle here. We're okay.
I'm a few hundred feet below the X right now, pretty bummed out. I think Brock Faber looked great. I think he's one of the only guys that looked great. A part of me is really bummed that this was maybe the last time we saw Dumba and Brodin play together, but Dumba sucked, so maybe it's not that sad.
And got hurt too, right? He didn't play the entire third.
No, they switched up the pairs in the third, and Brodin is playing with somebody else.
How disappointed, though, like beyond that, how disappointed are you? Because this does not strike me as a series in which, like, I thought they can't win.
I really thought they were going to win tonight. Like, I told everyone they are winning tonight. Like, I would have put money on it.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. Thank you.
Thanks, Claire.
See you, Claire.
Appreciate it. Packed room here on Wild Vent Line. We're at max capacity in our green room.
Just run them.
So I see a bunch of fans trying to get in on it. We'll get as many of you as possible on, so we'll keep this moving. Let's go next to Jonathan. Hi, Jonathan. What's up, buddy?
How are you guys doing? You know what's funny is I actually got interested in you guys' podcast from my best friend who's from Chicago, who's a Blackhawks fan. He's like, you got to listen to Judd. He knows his hockey. You got to listen to Judd.
Well, thank you. Tell him thanks.
He likes the Wild. He can't stand the Wild. But I started, like, literally listening to you guys because of him. He just loved you guys.
Thank
you. I think this was seriously lost in game four. They gave up in game four. And I think that was the biggest problem. I want to go back to that because that was the biggest issue.
Sure.
In my opinion, they didn't play to their abilities in game four. And I'd have been at your draft party last night. I was actually at in Kansas City for the draft. It was just too many people. But I'm at Ole Miss now at my sister's thing. And I'm just telling you now, I think the series was lost in game four. They had the opportunity to go up 3-1, and they didn't. And that is, it's as a fan of Minnesota sports, that's just what it is. You know, we have that killer instinct, and we couldn't pull it off.
But there's no rule saying that we can't change that at some point. That's what drives me crazy. It's across the board, every bleeping men's team, professional team that we care about.
Judd, I mean, I got football when I was 5 years old, right? And I'll tell you right now, there's not been one team outside of the Kirby Puckett Twins that's brought me joy at all in my life.
Unfortunately.
That's just fair.
Unfortunately. So. All right, man. Thank you. Tell your friend
thanks. Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate it. All right, let's go next to Lucas here. Hey, Lucas. What's up, bud?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're a little bit down. We'll make it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, I was taking a little notes from what I saw from the game, and I saw an interesting statistic from the chat that Dean Evason's last series win was 2005?
Oh, I don't even know. Like it was in junior hockey somewhere.
Yeah, it was the WHL, wasn't it?
Yeah, so you might be right.
I was born that year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The consistency of Minnesota sports being able to not do anything since I was born, like Twins haven't won in my lifetime or anything, but.
And Declan's.
But, no, there's face-offs are another key. I mean, that's one thing why the penalty kill is never good. You would lose the face-off 3 seconds, 6 seconds, end of penalty kill. Power play wasn't able to do that. I mean, penalty kill was okay today because Dallas wasn't really pressing for a goal the second half of the game. And
right.
And there wasn't really any bad officiating in this game. I mean, there was like a missed holding the stick penalty where Ben was holding Gaudreau's stick in front of the net, but that's a tough call to make.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and keep in mind, too, as far as the power plays go, the power plays coming into tonight. So for all we talked about, oh, my God, Dallas was getting diving and they were getting all the calls. They were 9 of 22, so 22 attempts. The Wild was 4 of 20. So it was only a 2 power play difference even coming into tonight. So, like, this whole notion that the Wild was getting screwed left and right is absolute nonsense. What they were doing was giving up goals. And he's exactly right. I mean, we had goals, what, 8 seconds after a power play, 6 seconds, 4 seconds, you know. That's ridiculous. And that's where faceoffs do play a key role, because if you cannot control the puck on a power play in your own zone, you're going to give up a goal.
Absolutely. And you know, just quickly here before I get back to the Wild fans, because game two was a missed opportunity, right? Like, Gustafsson played great in game one, stood on his head. You stole game one at home. You get embarrassed and you get just waxed in game two because you started Marc-Andre Fleury. To go back to your rotation, I don't think that was the right call. But okay, it's 1-1, no big deal. You come back home, you go up 2-1, and now it's okay. Now the series is yours to take here. Now you don't have to do the rotation. Now you know the formula. You've won two of these first three games. You know what it takes to probably win this series. And Jed, it was just a collapse. It was a meltdown. It was self-induced wounds the rest of the way. And you had your two best players in Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Boldy, who were complete ghosts and unwanted posters, basically looking for their lives by the end of it.
And for the fact that I think he had like 4 or 5 points, Zuccarello was terrible. I mean, again, he missed a wide open net tonight. And then the second period, at the end of the period, Dallas comes down and Marchment scores. So he was terrible. And on top of that, your head coach refused to juggle lines until it was far too late. And when he did, it was a tepid, I'll move Johansson up to the first line for a while and Zuccarello down. And, you know, Gus Nyquist, who earned an opportunity to be a top six forward, didn't play. And Sundqvist, who's got 2 Stanley Cup rings, spent the majority of time sitting by me in the press box. like, what are you doing?
Absolutely. All right, keep it moving, Wild Vent Line. We're going to go next to Andrew here. Hey, Andrew. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Just crying in my whiskey here, just like you guys.
Amen.
Wish I was.
You know, I think this series was really lost before the series started when Ek went out. And that's not because Ek's that great of a player. It's because Dean doesn't know what to do without him. We have Kirill out in front of the net, taking elbows to the face, taking cross checks. I mean, that's Ek's spot. He's your powerhouse in front of the net who dominates it and gets under players' skins. And throwing Kirill out there, he's not moving his feet around. He's not skating around, not getting open. I can't blame him for not scoring points when he's stuck in front of the net, not moving his feet.
Well,
what's up, Andrew?
And that's the thing, too, is, for instance, why didn't you try when Ek went out, Eriksson Ek went out, why didn't you try Foligno on the power play as the net front guy? Or put Sundqvist in. He's a big guy.
Just some type of adjustment.
Like, that's the thing, is there are no adjustments. Like, we could go through the litany of things that Dean won't change. And look, Eriksson Ek's out. That sucks. It's tough. I get that. But if you can't overcome that, if your coach can't overcome that, and like the kid said before, and he's right, this guy hasn't won a playoff series probably since 2005 in the Western Hockey League. Remember, in the American Hockey League, 4 playoff appearances in 6 seasons, of which he went 1-12 and never got out of the first round. And now with the Wild, he went out in that qualifying tournament against Vancouver. Okay, I'll sort of excuse that. Weird bubble, not really his team totally. Golden Knights in 7 games lost to Pete DeBoer. St. Louis, Berube outcoaches him badly again. And then this. Like, I mean, what more do you need to see to say, I mean, this is not, as the kids say, that's not a small sample size.
Nope, not at all. All right, keep it moving. We're going to go next to Mike here. Hey, Mike, what's up, bud?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hanging in.
So a lot of the people who've been commenting have covered a lot of the topics that I was actually going to cover. But I have a couple of interesting notes. Jared Spurgeon. It's funny because I feel the exact same way and more what you said, Judd. He don't need to be gone. He's a great player. The C, man, I remember when he got the C, I'm like, so was Spurgeon, I. Like, he's like the nicest guy in the world. Like, he's too nice to be that, like, fearlessly, like you said, like, go in there, kick a can over and say, what the heck are we doing, boys? Like, get
string of F-bombs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wasn't going to do it on the podcast or whatever.
Well, don't say the word, but yes, but a string of those would help.
There's kids watching, I'm sure. So, and the other thing I was just going to say is how embarrassing. 2 years in a row in front of home fans, in front of home fans, you get eliminated. And we can go over all the excuses. Foligno basically throwing the entire game off the off the tracks immediately with just refs or not, don't care, undisciplined play. And just the thing, the game two, not putting in Gustafson, missed opportunity after missed opportunity after missed opportunity, eliminated game six at home in front of home fans. We deserve better. And at the end of the day, it boils down to coaching, like it or not.
Yep.
I like Evason. Like, I want to like Evason. You know, like, you want to. Like, he is that tough, you know, he's got the jawline.
He's got the Bud Grant the grit. Thing.
Yeah, right? Like, he's the grit. That. Like, he, you know, he looks like it, but it's just, I'm sorry, boys. Tonight, it really struggled. I knew it was going to come. I hate to be a pest. I'm normally the optimist with this. But going into this game, I was just like, no, it's over. And you had a guy on the show last week. I don't remember if it was the vent line, but he said it was after the last game. He's like, whoever wins this game wins the series. And he was exactly right. Mm-hmm. And when he said that on your show, I was like, I agree. Like, that's how I feel about it, too. And we totally crapped the bed that day.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Thanks, that's Mike. Well put. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, he's exactly right. And look, if you had lost a series in six or seven really good games, I'd be like, oh. And that's the thing. Okay, game four is disappointing, and I do agree that the Wild didn't maximize how they should play, but that was a hell of a hockey game, Deco, and I'm not going to criticize them too much. You know, I can nitpick that one. It's these last two games when you, again, it's like game six in St. Louis last year when they were eliminated with home ice, and they were taken out in game six. And do you remember how bad game six was? It's the exact same thing. The last time that they played Dallas, I want to say it was 2016, first round. Sunday afternoon, elimination game. I think it's game six again, just like tonight, okay? And they go down in that one like five rip or four rip, and then they come storming back, and it's too late. You know, that's my problem. These last two defeats were just crap.
Yep. All right, we'll keep it going. Let's go next to Cade here. Hey, Cade, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? This is I'm Dad, and this is Cade, but I think it would have been nice to have that $18 million and maybe sign this guy, possibly.
I don't disagree. So,
just, you know, it does factor into it. But what I do want to say is face-offs, penalty kill face-offs, power play face-offs, especially power penalty kill, daggered us. The thing that I can't understand is you're up 2-1 and you lose three straight games. You could not win one of those three games. I'm still trying to comprehend that. But also, you know, we talked about centermen and faceoffs. It's been a woeful on this team since, you know, what, probably 3 years. And I will say, out of all the last 3 years, this is the series we could have won. Pavelski's out. You know, everybody wants to say Eriksson Ek is out. Pavelski's out.
100%. Well, and so was last year. Last year against St. Louis. Like, this is becoming an expectation that they'll lose, and it's folly. It's a bunch of crap. They could have won the last three first rounds, Dex.
Yeah.
Golden Knights went seven games.
Easily.
That went to seven. The last two went to six. In none of these series were they clearly just completely outclassed. What they failed to do was they failed to make adjustments, and the end of the Blues series last year and this one, the problem, too, is they just collapsed.
Yep. All right, we're going to keep it going. We had this guy, I think, last time. Seth, your last name is Wild. You're named after this team.
Yep. Good caller, too. Awesome.
How are we feeling today, man?
Dude, honestly, I'm hurt. You know, the Vikings lost to the Giants. The Vikings were the better team going in. The more skilled team, more all around. All of us Wild fans know the Stars, top to bottom, first line to fourth line, offensively, were the better team. So I personally, when I did my NHL bracket, I chose the Stars to win in six. That's what I thought before the series. But my heart is with this team. I love watching this team, and watch it now that we've all watched all of the series. You know, Kirill Kaprizov wore his heart on his sleeve. Marcus Foligno did up until this game, because the way that he was buzzing around the first few games in comparison tonight, you know, you notice the difference because he didn't want to get any more penalties. He didn't want to harm his team anymore. Who else? That's the thing. If you watch that Colorado Kraken game, all of those Kraken guys,
yep,
hard on their sleeve. Nathan MacKinnon, every single time he touches the puck, hard on his sleeve. Same thing with Rantanen. And we don't have that. You know, Kaprizov is our one player. And with what's going on with Suter and Parise, with all the money that's lost from us, we need that top to bottom just like the Kraken. And the Wild didn't. I don't know if they couldn't do it because the Stars are a very talented hockey team. Jake Ottinger is one of the best. Like we watched it. We've all watched it. Jake Ottinger is one of the best in the league. You can't argue.
Right.
And it just hurts, you know, watching Jake Ottinger's interview after the game and seeing the Wild fans behind the glass smiling and laughing and seeing Fleury give away a stick and Zuccarello give away a stick. I would have broken that stick in half because I'm hurt. But you know what? Those guys are getting paid millions of dollars to lose a game six when hardworking people are paying their hard-earned money to go and watch them lose in six. It'll probably happen again. The Vikings will probably lose in the divisional round, and we'll all be here again. But, you know, hopefully one day before we all die, we'll see. Let me say this one thing. I live in Philadelphia, okay? So I watched the Philadelphia Phillies go to the World Series when nobody thought that they would go to the World Series. I watched the Philadelphia Union go to the MLS Championship when nobody thought so. The Eagles, they were good. That's what I wanted for the Wild this year, and once again, fell short. Again, I love the show, guys. I really appreciate it. I hope that next season's a little bit better.
You're awesome. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Seth. Appreciate the kind words there, man. OptiStats tweeting this out tonight, Judd. The Twins won the World Series in 91. Since then, Twin City teams have made the playoffs 50 times between the four major men's sports. 50 times. No other metro area has even 30 straight playoff trips without making the finals. And the Minnesota Vikings, Wild, Twins, Timberwolves, 50 trips. The next longest streak is 29 by the Capitals, who went from 98 to 2018 before the Capitals obviously won their cup with Ovechkin. 50 consecutive playoff trips between the four major men's
teams.
So this is the 50th.
You know what's funny about that? I believe the first one, after the Twins won the World Series in 91, I want to say the first one where we didn't win in was the North Stars against the Red Wings. They went in 92. And if I'm not mistaken, the final game of that series might have been a game six at Met Center, in which replay was used for the very first time ever on a Fedorov goal. And that was the North Stars ouster. Of course, in 93, they didn't make the playoffs. But I think that was the first one, because the Wolves obviously didn't make the playoffs until the mid-90s. The Vikings were bad in 91, and the Twins had won the World Series. So if I'm not mistaken, it started with hockey, and 50, one was hockey, and 50 is hockey.
You are correct. So the breakdown of those 50 trips are one North Stars, so that's the trip you're talking about. The Twins have been there 9 times. The Wolves have been there 11 times. The Wild have been there 13 times. The Vikings have been there 16 times. That equals 50. 50 trips.
That's a great – I mean, it's a terribly depressing stat, but it's a great stat.
Yeah, and maybe I was born in 92. Maybe
congratulations on 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the problem.
All right, let's go to Tyler next here on Wild Ventline. Hey, Tyler, what's up, bud?
Hey, guys. Can you guys hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Oh, man. Like, first of all, I don't know where to start here. Kirill Kaprizov, to me, was shut down, like, all throughout the series. Only one goal in this entire series. It was game one. It was a power play goal, which to me, special teams was another reason why we lost this series. Special teams was god-awful. And Judd's right. In special teams, you got to convert on the power play. You have to convert on the power play, and that's the number one thing. And winning a playoff series is you have to capitalize on the power play. And I got done writing down the notes because when Marchment scored and made a 3-0, I knew the Wild weren't going to come back and win this thing. But the only player that showed up tonight was obviously Brock Faber. I think Brock Faber is going to be a huge aspect to this team moving forward. But, yeah, I just cannot wait to see Matt Dumba gone, Zuccarello gone, possibly Foligno. Another guy that completely shocked me was Matt Boldy. Also shut down tonight, but this was a complete opposite of last year where Kirill Kaprizov literally carried this team from last year's playoff series. And then this year was just a complete different story. But, yeah, it just sucks because I really thought that this team was going to be different from last season, and it wasn't, and it really sucks. It just really just kills me because it's just it's a complete waste of time. I mean, it's very, very frustrating.
Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah, good stuff. And what's frustrating about it, too, and I'm sure Bill Guerin's extremely frustrated about this, Declan, is this was a very different team. It was built, I mean, they openly talked about it, and they're right. You know, last year's team was the Cardiac Kids. They came back late. They were more of an offensive team. This team was built and was, you know, at the deadline was bolstered by guys like Sundquist, who didn't play, Nyquist, veterans who knew what they were doing. I mean, this was going to be a bigger, tougher team to play. And ultimately, they weren't at all. And they were, as someone said before, mentally weak. And I got bad news for you if you think Matt Zuccarello is going to be gone, because next year is a 2023-24 campaign. And Matt Zuccarello will be going into the final year of his contract with a full no-move clause. So don't count on him being gone.
All right, let's go next to Jackson here. Jackson, you holding up? Oh,
it's okay. It's okay, how Jackson.
Guys, how you guys doing?
The same as you. I mean, it's just it's not fun to watch again.
My wife thinks I'm losing my hairline because of my job, but I think it's his team here.
It's Minnesota sports. Tell her that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Groundhog Day. I started watching you guys, Kirill's rookie season, I think.
Thank you.
Get to the playoffs. You know, they lose to Vegas in 7. Like, all right, next year is our year. Classic, Minnesota line there. And then get home ice. Like, all right, I like our chances against the Blues. Get out in six games, same thing. And then this year, I mean, we had little expectations going into this year. I know you guys did. I was on the same page as you guys. And then same result 3 years in a row. I think this team needs to be some accountability somewhere top down. Love Guerin. He needs to start blowing it up. He came in here, watched the team for a year. He saw what he didn't like and got rid of Joker, Coyle, Gremlin, right?
Parisi, Suter?
Yeah, it needs to happen again. I think, obviously, you just talked about Zuccarello. He's not probably not going anywhere, but there's only a handful of guys, I think, that you can hang on to.
Well, I think you have to look at the top, too, though, dude. I mean, I think you have to look at the coach. I think you have to look at some point in time, it's not – all the players. Now, I do think that they very well could have a different captain if they were smart, and I think that they could make some changes. But Declan, they changed the personality of this team in a pretty big way, and the same thing happened. So, like, at some point in time, you got to look at the head coach.
Yep. We're going to keep it going. We're going next to Brody here. Hey, Brody, what's up, dude? You're on Wild Vent Line.
Hey, guys. Can I just bring a little positivity to the Vent Line real quick?
Sure.
So this is my man cave. I watched the game.
Nice.
So, look at that. Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Just give me one more second here. So I've got – I think I showed you this last year too, but I got my spotlights on the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's
but,
great, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to be – I don't want to, like, talk about the Wild in just too generic form. So, like, I just want to, like, specifically talk about, like, the power play and how it seems like in 20 years of a franchise, we've never been able to set up a play where you're consistently getting one-timers off the flanks. You know, like, the Capitals, the Lightning, Dallas, whatever team. Like, you know, that seems to be the easiest way for a power play to work.
Hey, Justin Pierce.
you know, I'm a big Minnesota State Mankato fan. They've had a 25% power play the last decade. They were 27% this year. And they set up this play where they have their best defender who can get shots through at the top. They have their best one-timers on the flanks, and they have their best tipper in front of the net. And then when they run their power play, they pick whoever's open, and then they go there. And it just doesn't seem like the Wild ever have the right decision-making to go the right person when they're open. They're forcing shots. They're forcing passes. You know, tonight they had the two-on-one where I know it was like 5 minutes in the third period. Zuccarello had it. He had like a wide-open net, and he forces it to Kaprizov. And Kaprizov tips it wide, and it's just, you know, it just seems like we are gripping our sticks way too much. And overall, I just think the Wild need someone that has a more offensive mind for the power play and someone obviously on the penalty kill that knows how the power play wants to work so that we can actually fix those special teams, you know, just because in general, it's, you know, you're never going to go far unless you figure that out. You know, the center is one thing, but the special teams is basically the last 2 years the reason that we've gone out in six or seven games. So,
thanks, Brody. Yeah, I feel like special teams, Judd, is like that. That's whether they make adjustments with their head coach, which certainly could come. I feel like getting the right power play specialist, getting their special teams back on track is also their, you know, first supplemental goal to making this team more believable again.
But remember, they vowed after the loss to the Blues where the penalty kill was absolutely terrible to fix that. And they were way more aggressive. What, franchise record, something like 13 shorthanded goals this year? And now it collapsed again at the most important time. So, like, I don't know that just the vow of, you know, to fix it. I mean, you've got to do different things. You've got to come up with. And, you know, the playoffs, and this is where you're right, Declan. Okay, regular season success can be fun. But ultimately, the playoffs are a different animal. The Florida Panthers are forcing the Boston Bruins to seven games. The Boston Bruins, a historically good year, could be out of the playoffs, which will be, if they are, an extreme disappointment. But that is part and parcel of how this thing can work. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but we can discuss these things all we want. The reality of this Wild team is that in the playoffs, first and foremost, before you get to the winning a series, they can't pass the eye test.
No. I mean,
pass the damn eye test.
The 50 consecutive season thing is remarkable. I mean, Judge, Seattle might beat Colorado tomorrow.
I know.
Like an expansion team, and I know the Wild's third year in their expansion, which was much different tonight? Rules. And or was that tonight?
I think they're playing tonight.
I got my head.
It's probably just about done right now.
In 10 different directions here this last 24 hours.
But I mean, you got to pass the eye test.
Colorado won. They did. They advanced. Or no. No,
no, it's game seven.
Game seven is tomorrow.
Yep.
Game seven is tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, yeah, the Seattle might even win their series, just like the Wild can't luck their way into the same situation. We'll go next here to Carl. Hi, Carl.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me. Just got a couple bullet points to hit here. It won't take long. But as a 20-year-old, you know, it's like sometimes I wonder what it's like or what it would have been like to have been born in Massachusetts, you know, because I'm only 20, but I've been subject to a lifetime of Minnesota sports disappointment versus those Patriots fans and those Red Sox fans and those Bruins fans and those Celtics fans out there. It's like, whatever, I guess. Like, I was at the Giants-Vikings playoff game earlier this year, and I was walking out. And yeah, I had fun, but it's like I'm walking out of there and obviously it was a disappointing ending. I wasn't even sad standing at the light rail station. I was just like laughing almost because it's normal. This is not supposed to be normal.
Correct.
And it just continues to be. And I think the worst part about this particular situation in this Wild season is that we all assumed that Colorado was going to beat Seattle in like 5 or 4. Seattle could legitimately win this series. Yeah. So the Stars... The Stars, if Seattle wins tomorrow night or tonight, or they finish off Colorado, there's a pretty good chance that Dallas just zip right to the Western Conference Finals. So it's like, that could have been you. All you had to do was play to your potential, and you could have had Seattle in the second round. But, like, it's just so frustrating. And I feel like the only good part of this game was the fact that I got to watch it on my beautiful TCL TV.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, well, you're awesome. Thank you for buying
that. Thank you, sir.
Like, yeah. that's but that's the only positive, you know? Like, it's the only thing I can say at this point is, this is the last thing I want to say. As you can see, I've already done some redecorating tonight. I mean, well, I guess it's only a small screen. But I just want to say that there's only one thing we can do at this point as tortured Minnesota sports fans.
Okay.
And that is move on to the Minnesota Twins. We will see you in October to do this all over again.
Hang in there, kid. Hang in there. Keep the positivity going. I like that. Eventually, it'll beat you down.
Appreciate you, buddy. Great stuff, man. Great stuff. All right, let's go next to Gavin here. Hey, Gavin, what's up? You're on Wild Vent Line.
How's it going, guys? Big fan. I think that this is incredibly disappointing, you know. Judd and Mackie always ask during Write That Down what your first Minnesota sports memory is, and mine was 2009, sitting at a basement saying that we're going to the Super Bowl and then having everything crushed right in front of me and get let down. And since then, it's just been an absolute disappointment to be a Minnesota sports fan. I was at the game tonight. And it was incredibly disappointing to be there because I didn't watch a hockey game. I watched 10 minutes of a team play hockey, and the rest of that time, they fumbled the puck around. You can't start out as hot as you did. You started out, and Dallas looked like they were on their heels.
Yep.
That first 5 minutes, I was like, wow, this team actually is going to do it. The second Dallas scores a pretty lackluster goal, you just completely collapse, and you're no longer – a team, you say, oh, well, they scored a goal. We can't come back from a one-goal deficit. And then in the final period, final 5 minutes, Freddie Gaudreau scores a goal. And all of a sudden, oh, my gosh, we're going to be a saving grace team again. You can't do that. That's not who you are. Grit first. Grit first isn't come back in the last 5 minutes and win the game. Grit first is you're going to take the team the whole entire time, play the whole entire game your way, and not just sit back and let a team run you around.
Yeah. Well put. You're exactly right.
Awesome stuff, Gavin.
Say no more. Great call.
Yeah, that was incredible. We just got one more left here in the room, Judd. We're going to go next to Cole. Hi, Cole.
What's up, guys? What's up?
How you doing?
Honestly, I think it's kind of funny because we have, you know, 2 years now of two honestly ironic slogans. You have It's All About Winning to get blown out four games straight, and then Grit First to give up after, what, game four? And, you know, honestly, it's just kind of depressing to see Dean get outcoached in the way that he's been outcoached. I think last year the Blues lost, what, four of their six starting defensemen, something like that?
Yes.
And they somehow got better defensively.
And switched their goaltenders.
Exactly, and switched their goaltenders. And then Dean did what? You know, threw Fleury in there, threw Kulikov in there last minute, and nothing changed. They got blown out again. And then this year, you moved Johansson up to the first line, moved Zuccarello down to the second line, like you guys said, and leave Nyquist on the third line only to get smoked again. So, you know, 32 years now since we've seen a Minnesota team in a championship. That's what, like almost two generations. So it's just kind of depressing to see it.
Like Dex said, 50 consecutive Minnesota ousters.
Mm-hmm. God.
I mean, that is incredible.
That's absolutely insane. Hopefully
without
it breaks
even
soon.
An appearance, like without even like, you know, random teams have stumbled their way to a Stanley Cup, right? Like it can happen. Vegas happened. The Flames went there. Like the random teams in the last 20 years have gotten there. The Senators have gotten there. Other teams that have been like less fortunate and less stacked in the wild, and they can't stumble their way in there, man. It's
St. Louis too.
St. Louis, like, Montreal. Yeah. Yep. Whole thing.
Hopefully one day, but
great stuff, Cole.
I'm running out of time. Thanks, Cole.
Oh, man. That's going to wrap up our event line, right. Callers, Judley.
Are we done? Well, okay.
Tell them about Livia. Actually, first tell our all, friends about Livia, too, if you can, before you say goodbye.
First of all, we're not going away permanently. We'll probably be back early in the week at some point with our friend Jesse Pierce, who right now is writing. She will join us to put a wrap on the season. The season-ending stuff will come up in the next few days. Who knows? Oh, for all we know, we might have to jump on with an emergency episode to address a coaching change. Hint, hint, hint. But you know what does not need to be changed. What never needs to be changed is your plan for losing weight. And it starts with us, Livia Weight Control Centers. They helped me drop 40 pounds more than a year ago. They've helped Jessie as well. She's on the plan now, down 20 plus pounds. And guess what? It's a program that works and it is sustainable as well. And right now, if you join, the first 3 months are free. That's right. Think about that. Grit first. Forget that. Deal first. 3 months for free. 855-GO-LIVIA, Livia.com, LIVEA.com. Declan.
Hit that subscribe button, too, for Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. Of course, Purple Daily is locked and low with lots of draft coverage as well. So if you want to head over there to get your fix there, please go and do so. As Judd said, we'll be probably joined next week with Jesse Pierce. Judd's hockey show does not go completely on hiatus just yet. There are plenty of things.
There's stuff that's going to happen. There might be changes. There might be changes coming right down there.
Mm-hmm. Did Billy leave the GM suite?
Yeah, they turned off the lights and left.
He was just still in there, just sitting there in the darkness.
I think he was talking to, I think a few of them. I mean, they've got decisions to make, dude. You can't just you can't just go gently into the summer now and be like, that was a success. You know, you didn't build this thing to go out in the first round. I understand this team has some struggles salary cap wise and stuff. And look, if you'd won a round, you get bounced in the second round. Let's see how that looks. But you got to pass the eye test. You failed the eye test again.
I agree, dude. I agree. All right, hit that subscribe button for Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment right here on Score North. This is Judd's Hockey Show. Thank you to everyone, too, by the way. All you Wild fans who came out with us throughout entire playoff series again for the third straight consecutive year. Judd and I have been doing event line, no matter if it's at midnight or 2 a.m. like we did in game one. We've been here for you all season, so thank you so much for all the fans who jumped down with us the first time, or if you're a repeat caller, we appreciate you guys. This has been a blast. This has been an absolute blast to hang out, and we'll be back next week with more Judd's Hockey Show. Go to Purple Daily for Vikings draft coverage later on this weekend as well. Judd never sleeps, neither do we, so plenty of great stuff coming at you from that perspective. We'll be talking to you. Pass, shoot, score.